They will experience becoming a part of the great white flock of the saved or the blessed before the throne of God, and will experience the sublime attributes pertaining to this, which they have learned to believe in. But this great collective vision cannot make up their entire spiritual life. Here they will also experience the realization of any of the other dreams they may have had, even though these are perhaps only secondary in relation to the dreams and dream existences of their religion. Believers can well have dreams here on the physical plane of existence that are concurrent with their religious dreams. The same holds true also for the faithful followers of all other religions and sects. They experience that all their religious dreams and any other outstanding dreams come true in their paradise on the spiritual plane. Whether their religious dreams or material ones become primary will depend on which of them occupies their thoughts, wishes and will the most. Chapter 51 The Inhumane or Animal Paradise. Here we must distinguish between the inhumane paradise and the humane paradise, which in turn can be expressed as the animal and the human paradise respectively. The animal paradise is that in which the animals experience their paradisiacal state after death. As these beings are unable to form a specific dream, their paradise will be a kind of spiritual experience of their physical state, but only in a visionary form. Furthermore, the animals experience neither fear nor terror, since neither human beings nor beasts of prey can hunt them here. They cannot starve or freeze either. Everything conforms to their desires and wishes. They live in a state that can be the very highest pleasure, happiness and well-being for them. Since they cannot have pangs of conscience or be in conflict with themselves, they cannot have any experience of purgatory other than the little sensory alteration that is necessary in order to release them from dark thoughts, unrest and terror. Their paradise existence or discarnation is therefore also relatively short. In the same area of paradise, all human beings experience the realization of any paradisiacal experience or dream existence they may have that is based on self-assurance, material ideals or ideals based more or less on killing, such as meat-eating, hunting, fishing, avarice, heroic deeds as a war hero, boxer or wrestler, and all other dreams about being heroes, being millionaires, being film stars, being knights of some order, being titled, being a prince or the like. But the more common dreams, which constitute merely ordinary, daily phenomena in an idealized state, are also realized here on the spiritual plane. The dream existence or paradise of the great majority is in reality only the experience of imagined, present, ordinary, physical, material existences, but of course without all the troubles, unpleasantness and struggles that are otherwise inherent in these forms of existence when they are experienced on the physical plane. Here in paradise they can be experienced only exactly as their source wishes them. Here too the beings experience the paradisiacal states of the inhumane religions, which are based on the idealization of the manifestation of the killing principle in the form of, for example, wars, massacres, human and animal sacrifices, and other inhumane phenomena as part of their worship of God. Chapter 50 To the Humane or Human Paradise. In the humane or human paradise we find the realization of all the dreams that tend towards humaneness or neighborly love. People with dreams of helping beings in unfortunate situations will experience the realization of their dreams as guardian angels here on the spiritual plane. These beings help beings out of purgatory and into the paradise or dream existence appointed specifically to each of them. Beings from this area of paradise also take part in furthering the granting of physical beings' prayers and helping them with their fate, to the extent that this is possible from the spiritual plane. They are present everywhere and can often actually intervene in a physical being's fate and in an apparently miraculous way help them get over a serious crisis. Here in this human area of paradise we also find the previously mentioned artist's paradise, just as there is of course also a paradise here for scientists, where they can have their kinds of dreams realized. There is thus a radiant paradise for absolutely all existing living beings. Chapter 53: The Beings' Communication with One Another in Paradise. The beings' communication with one another and their way of manifesting or expressing themselves for one another is somewhat different to how it is here on the physical plane. We already know that a being's thoughts become visible in spiritual matter and can be observed by its fellow beings. Their communication with one another here is thereby direct. The beings do not have to speak in order to communicate with one another. They think, and their thoughts materialize themselves in spiritual matter at lightning speed and are thereafter visible to their fellow being, whose subsequent answer is likewise fashioned out of matter at lightning speed and is rendered visible. After the being has passed through purgatory and become accustomed to spiritual existence, this communication, where the thoughts are experienced directly from one spirit to another, actually needs no spoken language. In the time immediately after death, however, the being is still subject to its habitual physical way of manifesting and experiencing. And as long as it is subject to this, it experiences life as being almost physical, at the same time as it gradually sees that it no longer needs to be subject to the laws of manifestation and the force of gravity particular to the physical world. Everything here is governed by new principles and laws to which they gradually become accustomed and which, as previously mentioned, cause matter here on the spiritual plane to materialize and take form in accordance with their thought, wish and will without any exterior aids whatsoever. The being's sphere of communication is now limited to beings and things with which it cannot short-circuit or be disharmonious. There can therefore never be any discord, quarrels or disagreements with anyone or anything here. All the beings of the paradise in question are within the same mental wavelength range. Beings from higher forms of paradise can communicate with beings in the underlying paradises, but the beings from the underlying paradises cannot enter the higher beings' paradises. In paradise, the beings can meet any of their friends, acquaintances, family members and other relatives who have died previously on the physical plane and have come within the wavelength range of the same paradise in which they themselves are situated. They can, however, manifest only absolute kindness and friendliness towards one another, regardless of what relationship they may have had with one another on the physical plane. Animosity and antipathy do not exist in paradise, owing to the being's passage through the process of purgatory. The communication between the above-mentioned beings is therefore extraordinarily light and exhilarating or joyful. They cannot possibly take a gloomy view of anything whatsoever. This being so, they are thereby allowed to experience here in their paradise that everything is very good. Chapter 54: The Normal Channel of Communication Between Physical and Spiritual Beings. As regards the spiritual or discarnated being's connection with the beings on the physical plane, this is normally allocated to the physical being's periods of sleep. When the physical being has fallen into a deep sleep, it experiences an incomplete liberation from its physical organism, incomplete but nevertheless sufficient to render the physical organism unusable for communication, and the sleeper finds itself after this on the spiritual plane as a semi-spiritual being. In this state, asleep on the physical plane but awake day conscious on the spiritual plane, this being has now the opportunity to seek contact or to try to communicate with any of its deceased relatives, friends and acquaintances who are in the paradise to which it itself belongs during its normal sleep. its deceased relatives, friends and acquaintances who are in a high area of paradise can likewise also seek out the being. In the same way, it can itself also seek out deceased relatives and friends who are in a lower paradise than its own. It is thus possible for everyone who is bound by sympathy or love to make contact with one another on the spiritual plane. But communication here is thus restricted to areas where the beings, as previously mentioned, cannot possibly come into conflict with one another or quarrel. They can communicate only within wavelength ranges that are paradisiacal or joyous. On the physical plane, the beings can of course discuss all subjects, both those subjects in relation to which they are unfinished or more or less ignorant and those in relation to which they are finished or knowledgeable. This is why they have, on the above mentioned plane, such great opportunities for coming into conflict with one another, for quarreling and making war. This is thus completely impossible in the various paradises with the exception of those in which war or dark and deadly climates of thought are the dreams or paradise. However, only situations that are imagined and thereby artificial and unreal arise there. That the physical beings cannot day consciously remember any communication or exchange of thought they may have had with beings on the spiritual plane during sleep is due solely to the fact that the pertinent senses of memory are put out of action as soon as the being wakes up and physically becomes completely conscious. This is essential so that the spiritual state of experience during sleep does not become a serious hindrance or obstacle to the being's awake, physical day consciousness or daily life, and thereby to their evolution from animal to human being. This is why the spiritual existence can be nothing but paradisiacal. If the memories of the being's unhappy physical lives or fate could not be shut out of their paradise, the experience of paradise would be an impossibility. And if the memories of the experience of paradise could not be shut out from physical daily life, with its hardships or dark conditions for the being, daily life would be experienced as a greater or lesser misfortune in relation to paradise experience's wondrous state of joy and happiness. One would mentally shudder at even the most beautiful physical fates and experience a shock that would destroy all one's zest for life and cause nothing but fatal melancholy and depression. One thus here understands again the perfection of the divine world order and the revelation of the Godhead's infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence. Chapter 55 Situations in which physical beings can be possessed by spirits having a physical, day-conscious connection with beings from the spiritual plane through mediums is certainly possible, but it is an exception and not the normal way. One can, however, to a certain elementary extent transfer encouraging speech and information from the physical plane through honest mediums to beings that are still in their purgatory after their physical death, as unhappy beings. But one must remember that God's normal instruments for providing help to all unhappy beings in purgatory are the guardian angels that exist here. Here we must also remember that any artificial connection with the spiritual plane by non-expert physical beings can be extremely dangerous. It can lead to one being haunted and possessed by derailed, perverse or downright sadistic spirits from the sphere of purgatory. It can also lead to drug addicts, alcoholics and similar beings who are still in purgatory and have not yet got rid of their unfortunate tendencies, and therefore suffer from strong desires to satisfy them, being able to possess physical beings and gain some satisfaction through them. They of course prefer to haunt correspondingly vice-ridden beings on the physical plane. By possessing these beings, the spirits in question can, as it were, through these physical beings' abnormal indulgences, share the indulgence to a certain extent, and thereby achieve a kind of satisfaction. This means that the physical beings concerned will feel a heightened craving for the destructive indulgence. This intensified craving for the indulgence, which is now also to a great extent promoted by the possessing spirit, can become so strong that the physical being ultimately loses all its power of resistance, and becomes mentally and physically devastated to such an extent that it can lead to the being becoming mental deficient in its next physical life on Earth. Spirits can also possess physical beings in other ways. Even if they are not as drastic as the ways mentioned above, they lead as a rule to harmful or unfortunate conditions for the one possessed, who may fall victim to nervous crises and mental illness. Such possession can very often begin through apparently quite innocent spiritistic experiments. It is therefore healthiest to keep to the natural line of communication with the beings in the spiritual world through one's normal, healthy sleep. Then one is fully protected and cannot meet with such mental crises and physically destructive crises. Chapter 56: The Road of Life or the Road to Paradise. We have now reached the end of this brief overview of the Road of Life or the Road to Paradise. Through this overview we have gained a little insight into how the beings are compelled to live for a while into worlds, the spiritual world, which is the primary world and the location of all living beings' life experience and creation, and the physical world, which is a vital extension to this, a sphere of matter that is the material for God's creation of the living being's transformation into being like God himself. Without this matter, all creation of consciousness would, as we have seen, be an impossibility. It is therefore essential that the living beings incarnate for a while in this matter in order, as we have also already pointed out, to be able to experience here how their behavior should be and how it should not be, in order that they, through this behavior, can become qualified to experience and practice being one with God. It is therefore evident that reincarnation or the being's long series of physical terrestrial lives is the Godhead's great, wide highway to his own radiant and eternal paradise on the highest pinnacles of infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence. Here in this all-outshining highest paradise we have arrived at the final goal of all life's movement towards the pinnacles of light or the eternal Father. There is no living being whatsoever in the physical universe that is not on this road leading to the divine abode of all living beings. This road of life is immeasurably long, but we have seen that the tired wanderer who has to negotiate it is well taken care of. Here there are many inns built in the same joyful and happy style as the Father's house or God's own paradise, which is the goal for all travelers who travel this divine road. Here the hard-pressed, wandering Son of God can spend the night, have a good rest and enjoy the entire bodily warmth and well-being of fatherly love. Here he can have his worn-out and decrepit physical means of transport replaced, and even get a completely new traveling kit, so that, refreshed and with new zest for life, he can again set out on a new lap to the next inn, and so on in this way from inn to inn on the long journey towards the great revelation of the adventure of life or the solution to the mystery of life or the riddle of the universe. The physical lives on Earth are the living beings' laps in the journey between the inns. These inns are in turn the same as the living being's spiritual existences or stopovers in paradise between its physical terrestrial lives. We have already seen what these paradises mean to the living being. Here for a short time it is allowed to throw off the ballast it has on board in the form of heavy mental burdens, sorrows, problems, sufferings and difficulties, and be clothed in its heavenly, princely robes, the shining halo of peace, joy and happiness, at the same time as it is permitted to live here in the realization of its temporary, very highest dream existence. And after thus having dwelt in the Father's love and having been pervaded by a new courage to face life and having received new divine strength and a new physical organism or means of transport, the eternal Son of God can again set out on a journey in the physical world and complete the lap to the fatherly blessing of the next inn. And thus he continues further and further along the long cosmic road of life to his ultimate, all-out shining heavenly home with his eternal Father, and comes to rest in this Father's direct blessing and caress. We know the Godhead's reception of his returning Son by the concept of the great birth. Chapter 57. Life's highest paradise. The above-mentioned great birth is a spiritual process through which the human being, matured and developed for this through its lives on earth, has its latent cosmic sensory faculties opened. And with the maturing of these abilities, it now becomes completely sovereign with regard to cosmic knowledge and its perception of life. It has become its own unshakable cosmic source of light. And this being so, it has attained to experiencing with its own senses its immortality, its identity as a Son of God, and its divine brotherhood with all living beings. It loves everything and everyone. Its physical life and normal fate have become one with its dream existence or paradise. It has become a human being in God's image after his likeness. In this state it has attained a life that is the realization of the greatest of all dream existences, being at one with the Eternal Father in his infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence. When the human being or Son of God has attained this perfect existence, it no longer needs to leave the spiritual world or its true, permanent paradise and be born in physical matter. It has now learned to think 100% logically, both with regard to the creation of its behavior and other kinds of creation, and is thereby correspondingly 100% qualified to create in spiritual matter. It can therefore continue its existence in the highest spiritual worlds of the spiral cycle. Here it can manifest without hindrance its entire genius at expressing intellectuality and love, and enjoy the culminating creative zest that ensues from this. It can no longer make mistakes. It has served its apprenticeship in the school of life. It has itself become paradisiacal in practical reality. And on this reality rests its paradise, which has now become permanent, as the being is no longer subject to reincarnation or rebirth. It sees God awake day consciously in all beings and things. By virtue of its culminating cosmic knowledge and ability with regard to creating love, it, along with like-minded beings, constitutes the Godhead's creative and caressing organs of consciousness. Through them he breathes the breath of life or his own consciousness into the living beings of future worlds and planets, and comes up with the ideas for their organisms, forms and shapes. In the highest spiritual worlds, where the beings are thus free of reincarnation and have reached a peak of perfect, logical thinking and creation, they can, as previously mentioned, manifest without hindrance the genius of their entire cosmic consciousness in the kind of matter that automatically obeys thought, wishes and the will without any help whatsoever from external phenomena. And here they can travel in God's very own sphere of memory and day consciousness. Foreign planets and worlds with their fairy tale-like details and phenomena, mankinds of various forms, animal worlds and vegetable expressions of life emerge here before the cosmic eyes of the awestruck Son of God. By virtue of his identity with eternity, the past and the future become the present at the command of his will. He travels through the culminatory fire of suns as well as through the frozen oceans or icy wastes of planets. By virtue of his cosmic sovereignty and his special substance, he is immune to everything that is time and space dimensional. In the same way he travels just as easily through the densest area of the atomic world as through the empty space of the universe. Immune to sizes, he travels just as easily in macrocosmic and microcosmic worlds as in his own mesocosmic home. With ease he likewise experiences thousands of kilometers as 1 meter, and 1 meter as thousands of kilometers. For this Son of God who is one with the Father, 1 day is therefore as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. Here the Godhead's creation of the human being in his image is complete. It has become the way, the truth and the life. Its existence or way of being forms the Godhead's all-penetrating halo. And in this way every single unfinished living being today travels on the road to paradise and will one day, at the end of this long road, be received by the Eternal Father, the Godhead of the universe. And in his loving embrace, blessed by him, at one with the radiant abundance of his Spirit, it will radiate his infinite wisdom, universal love and omnipotence from the pinnacles of life over worlds, suns and galaxies.